Blog Talk Radio.
We got no audio.
Hey, welcome to the Dispatch Trucker Radio Show. We're having technical difficulties tonight. It's Thursday evening, November something. I'm currently in my studio driving. Just went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm on my way down to OKC. And I apologize. I've had a really rough week, and in order to continue on with the show, I kind of had to go mobile this week. But I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Pikerson. And Chris,
hello.
How are you tonight?
Oh, man, I'm still 6 foot above, you know, so they ain't got me yet. So we're doing good.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Yeah, I tell you what, my week has just been craziness. I lost a load this week. Had to do an insurance claim and had a little bit of messing around to do, but I'm here. I'm okay. We'll get through it. Lots happening this week, though, Chris. Let's start off with the truck driver. The truck driver in New Jersey that supposedly won.
Oh, Ed
Durr. Yeah, that one in New Jersey. Supposedly won against a sitting senator. The
Sweeney.
Yeah, that guy, that one over there. And now that guy is not conceding to the truck driver because he claims they found, 13,000 more votes somewhere?
It's 12,000. He says all of a sudden they found another 12,000 ballots. I guess we're playing this game again.
Yeah. Right when you lose, then all of a sudden ballots miraculously appear. What really surprised me, though, before we get too far into that one, was the Virginia governor race and the fact that Youngin was ahead of McAuliffe. And I thought for sure that they were going to pull that in Virginia. Oh, we found more votes. We found more votes. Because we've heard that story every single election. But they didn't.
Yeah.
McAuliffe, he conceded.
Yeah.
So, but let's get back to the guy in New Jersey. And I forgot his name. I think it's Dole or what is it?
Ed Durr. Ed?
Yeah, Durr. That guy.
Yeah.
Ed Durr. There we go. Yes, yes. Now, just a regular guy, like me and you, drives truck. He's kind of like me. He's got a loud mouth, doesn't shut up. And I can appreciate that because I'm very boisterous and I'm opinionated. And I let my thoughts be known. And he kind of does the same thing. The best part about this is he didn't have a huge budget. And even if it comes back and they really truly did find ballots and his campaign or his election, he ends up losing instead of winning. To be that competitive against a sitting senator that's been in office for quite a few years with a low budget, and I think, what did he spend, $2,300 or something on those lines?
Yeah, and that was $2,300 there.
Yeah, so to be that competitive against somebody that's got money backing him, because the last guy that went against him spent millions of dollars.
Ed
Durr, Ed Durr, the truck driver, comes in and spends $2,300. And if he doesn't win it, he came damn close. So, hey, applause to him, a hand clap, a high five, fist bump. All that good stuff. I mean, that's cool. In my book, it's a regular guy going against the establishment. Exactly. That's our audience clapping right there. We have a live in-studio audience in our studio where Chris is at.
Studio audience. But, and it's not just the senator that he beat out. I mean, this is a state race. So we're talking about the New Jersey state legislature here. But
right.
This was the president. So essentially, the same thing as like the Speaker of the House, you know, or the, you know, Senate Majority Leader.
Right. I mean, this was a big deal.
Yeah. Huge upset. I think they're going to try to
steal it.
That is,
I think you're right. If they come out and say, well, hey, we found 12,000 more ballots all of a sudden, and it's like, dude, at some point in time, we got to stop this madness. You know, you either have your ballots in or you don't have your ballots in. It's not that hard to figure out, especially with computers. And that's the thing that gets me, okay? So it's all computerized, right? And
right.
Now we forgot these ballots, we found these ballots. So you can't figure out how to run an election system, but you want me to trust you supporting automated semis going down the highways with my children and my family. I tell you what, I'll start supporting that when you guys can figure out how to get your election machines to work right. And once you get those machines to work right, then let's start talking about your automated trucks. Because if your automated trucks run anything like the election system does, I'm not interested.
We found some extra braking power. That accident shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, exactly. It's always like that, you know. And let's scoot over a race to the governor race in New Jersey. The fact that a Democrat there almost was unseated by a Republican. That was a close race too.
Yes.
So, I tell you what happened here. Now the Virginia governor race, where you had Glenn Youngkin going against McAuliffe. You know, Youngkin ends up winning, and it happened because, in my opinion, McAuliffe said, you know, it's not the parents' right to tell schools what they teach their children. And I've been watching school board meeting videos for the last, I don't know, month, maybe a little longer. I just watched one today. And the guy in this school board, and I don't remember where it was at, but he was talking, reading from a book that the kids had access to in school. And it was talking about strap-on dildos and how to put it on, and you look sexy in a strap-on dildo. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, man, our kids can hear this or read this? And what's the school board chair do? She tells him to stop talking because that language has no business being in this forum. And the audience kind of erupted, and she started, you know, we need order, we need order. And then she says to the guy, you are out of here, kicks him out for being obscene. And I'm thinking to myself, then a lady in the audience stood up and said, this is in our schools. Our kids can read this. Why are you kicking him out? Because it was inappropriate. Well, if it's inappropriate at a school board meeting, don't you think it's inappropriate for the children to be reading that kind of stuff? I don't know. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned.
I mean, you know, we should just all be able to go to our junior high school library and you know, check it. Check out the latest month edition of the Penthouse Letters, you know.
Right. I'm in strong agreement with that. I think we should start putting the Penthouse Forum in the library and letting the kids read it. That's sex education at its finest right there. But no, I mean, it's It's gotten so ridiculous. And, you know, you hear parents, you know, arguing about the critical race theory being taught in certain schools and certain school districts. And, you know, I hear a lot of the liberals on the far left say, what's wrong with that, teaching the kids about race issues? I have no problem teaching kids about history and race issues. But when you're trying to teach a kid that is white that it's wrong that he's white, is no better than a racist white person telling a black person the N-word or telling them that it's wrong to be black. It works both ways, but they don't want to see it that way. And furthermore, this attorney general, we touched base on this a couple weeks ago, Merrick Garland, his son-in-law,
right,
is in charge of the company that provides these school with the CRT, I call it propaganda, but material to these school districts. So he's making money hand over fist. So it's no wonder that they're pushing it wherever they can push it, major big school districts too. I've heard a lot of, you know, big suburb school districts with money to be thrown around are being pushed on this critical race theory. But parents, right, are starting to, they're starting to stand up and stand against this nonsense that the propaganda and indoctrination being pushed on America's children right now. There's numerous people that have been discredited by the media and our government that have been speaking out against what this indoctrination is entailing in all of our schools. And a lot of these people are screaming from the rooftops, please, please pull your children out of public schools right now. This is programming. Oh, yeah. It's indoctrination. And we're seeing it at a mass level right now. And it's very scary times that we live in, that's for sure.
Well, the big argument now, they're coming and they're saying that critical race is a myth, that they aren't actually teaching that in the schools, even though there's parents that have overheard some of the course content, you know, over their kids' online classes now that they're doing this from home. And so,
right,
yeah, they're saying that they're not doing it, but, you know, it seems like, and probably every school district isn't, but some school districts definitely. And people are definitely throwing that
out. We know that. But, you know, hey, if you're listening right now, if you want to call in and share your opinion, just keep it, you know, PG-13. You don't have to get on here. I know a lot of people are angry with this issue, but, you know, even with this, the critical race theory or anything else that you'd like to talk about and share your opinion on, call the number 516-387-1733. And when you get in, push the number 1. That'll let us know that you want to get on air with us and share your opinion and have a discussion or a debate about this. If you are a supporter of the critical race theory, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your point of view and why you support it. And maybe we can help educate each other. I don't know. But, yeah, just give us a call. That number is 516-387-1733. And then press 1 when you get in on the call, and then I'll know that you guys want to get on air, and Chris will let you on, and we'll have a discussion. But no, it was an interesting election day, for sure. So much so that it scared the hell out of Nancy Pelosi. So last night, after all this started, you know, boiling over, the Republicans took over a lot of Democrat seats yesterday, a lot, all over the country. And it was not a good showing for the Democrats. And the first thing the President Joe Biden says is, in Virginia, it's because of conservatives and Trump-minded people. And my first thought when he said that was, you know, screw you, buddy. You're not bringing anybody together. You're further dividing people. You know, rather than taking a look at yourselves and look in the mirror and wondering, why did we lose that race? maybe, just maybe, you would understand that the American people are tired of the far-left rhetoric. They're tired of candidates like McAuliffe saying, hey, you as a parent have no right to decide what your children gets taught in school. You know what? If my children are in school, I expect them to be taught how to read, how to write, how to add and subtract and multiply and divide and all that good stuff. Teach them about history. Teach them about World War II, Nazi Germany, what propaganda led up to the causing of that, kind of similar to what we're seeing today in America. Make the comparison. Let the kids think for themselves. But they don't do that no more. It's indoctrination. We're gonna shove this down their throats, and you're going to like it. And if you dare speak up, we're going to label you a domestic terrorist. But,
right, you know,
instead of the Democrats and Joe Biden taking responsibility for their far-left agenda that the Americans don't want any part of, and they lose elections over it, they blame Trump. Well, yet again, they can't get that guy out of their head. He's been out of office for 10 months. He shouldn't even be coming out of their mouth. It doesn't matter anymore. He's gone. It's done. But so what does Nancy Pelosi do? She puts a 2,000-page bill, slaps it on the desk of Congress. Every congressman got it. It's called the Reconciliation Bill, directly tied with the infrastructure bill, 2,000 pages.
Oh.
And they want to vote on it, and they want to vote on it now. They're going to push that radical agenda through. I listened to a congresswoman out of Florida by the name of Kat, I believe her name is. I can't remember. She's a wonderful she speaks very well and makes you understand, helps you understand. But anyway, they want to tax dairy cows up to $6,500 per cow for methane gas. And I think it was $4,500 for a beef cow. That's what they want to tax per cow to the farmer. What do you think that's going to do to the price of milk and beef?
Make it that you can't afford it.
Exactly.
Unless you're the kind of person, you know, that can afford a $24,000 ice cream freezer.
I'm telling you, folks, if you don't start calling your representatives and let them know that if you find out that they voted for this Reconciliation Act, that they will not have your vote next election, our country's over. It's done. Once they control the food supply and the cost of things, that socialism is right there. It's here. There's no getting back now. You're not going to get out of it. They've got you.
And that's
how they control you, the food.
That's what the voters are rejecting now. And for the Democrats to blame Trump-minded people, in other words, the Republicans, that's literally the same thing as the Houston Astros saying, well, we're really blaming this World Series loss on the Atlanta Braves because, you know, they played better than we did. I mean,
right. No, you're exactly right. And parents in Virginia were pissed off, dude. They don't want their children being, you know, forced this stuff down their throats. Not to mention what happened in Loudoun County with that whole sexual assault cover up. What was that?
Which I was saying, McAuliffe still won that county somehow.
Yeah. And he was part of the cover up, wasn't he?
I don't know if he was part of the cover up, but he was definitely advocating for these, you know, authoritarian school boards that seem to think that, you know, we control your children now and you don't have a say in it. I guess they don't understand how an elective democracy works. I don't know.
It's quite obvious. They don't believe the American people should question anything that they do because we're doing the best job for you. And that's just not true. It's simply not true. And it happens on both sides. Now, so we were kind of cheering on the fact that this guy did not get elected in Virginia because of what he said about, you know, parents shouldn't have the right to tell to decide what their kids get taught. Well, now me and Chris are talking, you know, a little bit earlier, and we find out that Glenn Youngkin, the CEO for the Carlyle Group, has ties to the World Economic Forum, and that he actually spoke at the World Economic Forum in 2020. Isn't that correct, Chris?
Yes, yes, he did. And I'm going to give a shout-out here. I'm going to give a shout-out to my buddy Medicine Man, who's out there somewhere on the road tonight, because he and I were talking about this race, and his comment, as soon as he realized that this guy had actually won, he was the one that said, okay, they let him win. What's the deal? You know, why are they letting him win? There must be something dirty. He must be connected to their agenda somehow, you know. And so I said, okay, let me dig around. Let me take a look. Sure enough, you and I talked about it. Yes, the man has spoke at the famous World Economic Forum Summit in Davos in 2020. I'll let you explain what the World Economic Forum in Davos, what kind of impact that has, and why that's a big red flag.
You got your board up, right, Chris? We got a caller on there. Let's see if they want to get on and share their opinion.
I think that might be Short Stack.
Oh, well, let's hear what he has to say.
All right.
I just called in. What's my opinion on?
Oh.
I don't know. Well, we're asking you. What's your opinion on?
I actually literally just called the number. I haven't listened to anything that was said.
We're talking about the recent Virginia governor's race won by the Republican, but it turns out that he has ties. He spoke at the World Economic Forum in Davos in 2020.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that cool? But hey, why don't we just let you listen for a little bit and then press one when you're ready to talk and give your opinion, because your opinion matters. How about that?
All right. That sounds great.
All right. I'm shutting you back down, Short Stack.
Yeah, there. See, now, wasn't that educational? Now, he's always got some good stuff to add. You know, he's got a different perspective than me or Chris's, and that's what we're looking for, is different perspectives, different opinions. And, you know, if you guys have a different opinion than us and it's completely different than what ours is, we still welcome the call. We're not saying that we're 100% right. We're just throwing ideas out there. Hey, is this guy dirty? Is he clean? What is it? But if you have a different opinion, call the number, 516-387-1733. And, let's hear what your opinion is. In the meantime, let's talk about something. Have you ever heard, Chris, about a hydrogen motor, a motor powered by hydrogen only, no fossil fuels?
Yes. You're talking about the water car.
The water car, invented by the one and only Stanley Meyer. And his brother, his twin brother, Stephen Meyer, created a car. It's on YouTube, and I shared the YouTube, the video over on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show Facebook page, so you can go and take a look at that YouTube video. Not that I understood a lot of how it works, but he does explain it, so if you're a little bit more mechanically inclined than I am, or scientifically inclined than I am, it would probably make sense to you. But the guy obviously knows what he's talking about. But this guy creates his car run off of hydrogen, off of water, and hydrogen energy. And he claimed that he could drive that car from New York City to Los Angeles with 22 gallons of water. And he actually traveled around the United States with that car and spoke at many different venues. As time went on, he started working on that, I believe, in 1975 when the whole Saudi Arabia oil embargo was going on. And you know what? I'm just stopping to pay a toll here. Sorry. But he invented this whole system. He got some investors involved. One investor, I believe, was out of Canada, invested $300,000. Well, the governments from around the world, actually, including the United States government and different investors, got a hold of Stanley and really wanted to buy this technology from him, and he would not sell that technology. And he wouldn't sell, and he wouldn't sell. So what happened? The media and different scientists, government-paid scientists, of course, started to discredit Stanley and got it so people would laugh at him when he was talking about his water or hydrogen car, when in fact the guy was a pretty brilliant man. He worked for NASA. The guy was a very smart man. So anyway, it really didn't go anywhere until that investor gave $300,000. That investor ended up suing him, and he had to give that $300,000 back. And not too long after that, I think it was in 98, I believe, he went to the Cracker Barrel restaurant, him and his brother, Stephen, and to meet a couple investors that wanted to invest in this technology. And he took a drink out of his cranberry juice after they cheersed, and he took one drink and he ran out the door. And he started puking profusely out the door, and his brother come out and said, "Are you okay? What's going on?" And his last words were, "They poisoned me." And then he died. And that was it. So there's a big conspiracy theory about how he died, if he truly was poisoned. But here's the kicker. So the police had an autopsy done on this guy, on a Stanley Meyer. And they claimed that he had high blood pressure and he was going to have an aneurysm. He died of an aneurysm. Well, there's so many conspiracy theories around this and around this guy that, I mean, it's certainly, it's a really good story and a neat story if you read into it. And I'm going to let Chris kind of dig into this a little bit deeper. But now you know the gist of all of this, of where, you know, that this guy come from. And Chris will be able to fill you in a little bit more educational-wise as far as, you know, some bullet points on more information about this guy. So, Chris, I'm going to let you talk about it for a little bit here and fill the audience in on Mr. Stanley Meyer.
All right. Well, you know, I heard this story. I've actually heard this story for a long time. Even prior to his death, I had heard this story about a guy who had invented, you know, a car that could run using water as a fuel source, and that, you know, the oil and gas, you know, conglomerates were basically using the government to shut him down and everything. And like a lot of things, I let it go in one ear and out the other. So I kind of researched it a little bit. I know they had been, oddly enough, right around 1998, all of a sudden the government started talking about how they believed they could come up with a hydrogen fuel cell. Now, a lot of people didn't connect the hydrogen fuel cell to the fabled car that could run on water, because when you're thinking about water and you're thinking about hydrogen, you're thinking about two different things. But in actuality, the way the hydrogen fuel cells work is they essentially take water and separate the hydrogen atoms. As you know, water, H2O, is two atoms of hydrogen to one atom of oxygen. And so they literally separate the hydrogen from the oxygen. The oxygen gets released as exhaust, and then they trap and transport the hydrogen atoms. And if you get enough hydrogen atoms, essentially what you're doing, it's the same concept as a regular internal combustion engine that you drive every day. But what they're doing, instead of spraying a misted gasoline and air fuel ratio into a throttle body to be ignited, they're extracting the hydrogen atoms from the water, separating them from the oxygen, sending them through, and essentially those are being ignited to create the combustion that turns the engine. So it's not a radically different engine design. Of course, the problem over the years has been in the fact that basically what they do to get the hydrogen extracted from the water to separate it from the oxygen, they introduce an electric current, basically bubbles off the hydrogen. And that's the gas that they trap and then burn. The problem is the efficiency isn't there, or at least hasn't been there, because we're talking to convert 1 liter, okay? To convert 1 liter of water into enough hydrogen to push a car down the road. Just one liter. Now, keep in mind, the typical car we have out on the road today is probably at least a 3 or 4 liter for a small car. For your big pickup trucks and stuff, you know, those are like 5, 6, even 7 liter engines. The amount of electricity required to cause this necessary reaction is like 267 kilowatts that you need to introduce for each liter that you're trying to convert. That's a lot of power, and more or less what it comes down to is we didn't have any batteries that could produce, I believe we're talking for the 1 liter engine, you need like a 25,000 amp battery. That's a lot of power, and 1 liter ain't going to push your car down the road. So at least not your family car. So it was basically inefficient to be able to produce the hydrogen. But this guy was saying that he had found, I'm sorry, let me backtrack. That process was known as electrolysis. This guy was saying that he had come up with a model that used something other than electrolysis to separate the hydrogen and power the car. And he had actually applied for a patent and was awarded the patent, which meant that somewhere along the line, he had actually gone in to the patent department and had met with the appropriate committee to show them his blueprints, show them his design, and showed them that the motor was a functioning motor. That was what the process would have been in order for him to be awarded that patent, which he was awarded. So definitely a lot of checks on the column that suggest that he was the real deal. He obviously got someone to invest $300,000, which was no small amount in the 90s. And then I don't know what happened, but it almost, you know, he did report, you know, government agents spying on him, Saudi Arabia trying to purchase the patent from him. He did not want to sell the patent. He wanted to retain ownership of his patent for, you know, obvious reasons. And then all of a sudden, the media turned on him. He became a fraud overnight. Somebody sued him, you know, and then the next thing you know, he dies a mysterious death. So definitely something that's conspiracy theory worthy, I would say. What do you think here?
Yeah, and absolutely. And here's another fun fact with that. He claimed that he could install this in every car for around $1,500, where it would run basically right off your tap water. No treated water, just water right out of your tap. That he could install this in every car for $1,500, and trucks, semis, he said that will be a little bit more expensive, but he thought that they could do it at that time for right around $5,000 per truck. So now if you really think about it, big oil, kind of like big pharma, you know, how they run the show. We all know there's special interest money running our government. But now you look back in the 90s, you know, and the big oil, they they have a lot of power, a lot of power. What's the first thing they're going to want to do? They're going to want to get a hold of that patent to shut that down. They don't want that out there to ruin their business. What? How many? You know how many billions of dollars that would have cost people? A lot of money. So it is a fun fact, but it's a great story. If you go in and research a little bit, I researched it a long time ago, and I really had a good time understanding it. But it's been so long since I've read up on it that. And I haven't had a chance to refresh my memory that much this week because due to unforeseen circumstances. But just go in and research this guy. And again, his name is Stanley Meyer and his brother Stephen Meyer. And it's such a great story. But, Chris, do we got a caller that wants to share their opinion?
You know, there's a caller there. I think it might be Tony. But I'm not seeing the indication that he wants to jump on the air.
Oh, okay. If you guys are listening to the show and you're on the phone, if you want to get on the air, just press the number 1. That way it sends us a signal that you guys want to get on the air and you want to give your opinion or just have a conversation with us about any of the topics we're talking about. We don't care, even if it's against us. That's the best time to learn, as long as we're all willing to listen. But it's a great story with Stanley Meyer, and I highly suggest you all go and look into it and read up on it. Watch the YouTube video with him, and there's numerous news stories out there with the guy. Form your own opinion and we'll see what you think. The death certainly does seem suspicious, but it's hard to. Confirm anything because the guy's gone and that's what it is. But I would love to see somebody come up with that technology now, and especially with gas prices at $4 a gallon.
Right. That'd break the big guy. So he's not going to let that go through.
No.
But I
no.
would like to say, anybody out there, if we have any listeners that after the last, 20 months, if you still trust the government, you're the exact kind of person I want to talk to. If you're still trusting the government after the last 20 months, I actually appreciate your loyalty, and I would like to reward your loyalty by selling you my premier condo located in the tropical zone of Southwest Iowa, and I will give it to you for the insanely low price of $50,000 cash, no questions asked, no credit check needed. Give me the $50,000. I will send you the title in the mail.
How do I sign up for that? I might be interested. Because
yeah,
that property, you know, is going to be worth a lot of money down the line, Chris, especially if you have oceanfront property in Southwest Iowa. That property is going to go from $50,000 to $500 million within a few short years.
I mean, you're an hour's drive from, you got oceanfront property and you're only an hour's drive from Omaha. You can't.
Is that ocean by any chance called the Des Moines River?
No, boy. It's the...
all right.
It's on there. Look on your map. It's the Iowa Ocean. Just look on your map. It's there.
Oh, okay. My bad. Hey, if you guys are listening, you guys want to get in on this conversation, joke around, have fun, or get serious and share your opinion, dial the number 516-387-1733. That is 516-387-1733. And once you get connected with us, just hit the number 1. That'll let us know you want to come on air with us. And I would really love the opposition to call in and just school us. Just make us look like complete fools. Or like Kyle Busch would say, it was just retarded. And then we'd all have to go to sensitivity training class, and the world would be a better place. And, yeah. So you heard about that story, right? Is it Kyle Busch or Kurt Busch? Whatever Busch.
Kyle.
He got spun out at a NASCAR race, and they were talking to him about it, and he was... and a little upset about it. And he said, you know, he come around and he put me in the water, spun me out or whatever he said. He said, it was just retarded. You know, the guy was obviously upset and mad. And I mean, is it a word you want to run around and screaming at people? Probably not, but give the guy a break. It was in the heat of the moment. And so now he's got to go to sensitivity classes.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like he was calling a handicapped person that word or that name. He wasn't trying to be derogatory toward anybody in specifically, except for the guy that spun him out, of course. I mean, he just called the situation dumb, basically. I mean, yeah, he could have used the word. That was just dumb. But, again, he was in the heat of the moment. And that's what sucks about today's society. You're not allowed to be real anymore because it offends somebody. I don't like that word. You know what? There's a lot of words I don't like either. But I ain't going to demand that you go to sensitivity training because I was offended by the language you used. You know, so
yeah,
if somebody offends me, I don't listen to him anymore.
Yeah. No, they didn't send him to sensitivity training when he rammed a pace car from behind. angry about, you know, the spotter not calling out the wet corner in time, and he spun out. He gets really mad when he spins out. I tell you what, though, we're starting to light up on the switchboard here, and it looks like now that we're talking about NASCAR, the Missouri redneck himself, Shortstack, all of a sudden has an opinion and wants to talk to us. So I'm gonna pull him up on the air, Shortstack.
Bam.
You are on the air.
Bullshitter alert. Bullshitter alert.
You just said I was from freaking Missouri? Come the freak on. I am nowhere near the state of Missouri.
I'm sorry. I was trying to give you an upgrade.
Oh,
he's a Hoosier.
Damn.
Anyway. He's a Hoosier, man. It's one of the best movies out there, the Indiana Hoosiers. Come on, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Grew up 25, 30 minutes from the Milan High School, but that may be
what do you what do you got for thoughts tonight there, Shortstack?
Well, NASCAR has, in my personal opinion, has become sissified in the last few years, and everyone is trying to make redneck hillbillies have to be PC, and that's just not realistic. Let
well,
man be
Daniel,
man
it's part of it's part of the pussification of America. That's what I'll just come out and
well,
say it.
That,
I'm not going to miss my words tonight.
It is. It's truly the demasculation of men, and that's what it comes down to. We have to feminize men more and more every day, and then we wonder, and then women wonder why we have boys that are 25 and 27 years old that aren't able to be men. Well, it's because society wants to get rid of masculinity. They want them to be feminine, and the feminist movement has totally changed from where it began in the beginning, and it's turned into a pile of horse shit, and then people wonder why all these good-looking women are lesbians. Well, it's pretty simple. There ain't no men left because they turned all the men into boys, and they don't know how to be men. That's just my soapbox statement on that comment. But the whole hydrogen car thing is an amazing process and is really like earth-shattering change to the world as we know it in the way of pollution, detriment, the destruction of and the use of fossil fuels with just using hydrogen through just splitting water. And the exhaust comes out as oxygen. What more could we ask for? But wasn't there also in the 1960s or 70s a guy that developed a carburetor that would go like 75 to 80 miles to the gallon, and they bought his patent up real fast and locked it away in a safe? I thought I heard a story of that growing up. But there was a guy.
I'd have to research that one, Daniel. I guess I have not heard of that, but Okay. You know, that hydrogen car or engine is, you know, you hear today's politicians, mainly on the left, sorry to have to pick on them, but it's true, talking about climate change. Meanwhile, they all get in their jets and they all fly over cross seas and have a summit when they could all sit behind their computers like they made everybody else do through this last 18 months of a pandemic and have Zoom meetings instead of flying all the way across the country to meet in person so we could watch Joe Biden sleep while they're talking about climate change. I mean, honestly, they could have had a Zoom meeting, and if they really truly care about climate, they wouldn't have a 45-car convoy to bring him to a climate change summit. They wouldn't be flying their jets across the country. I mean, it's a joke. They don't want to lead by example. You know what I mean?
Well, they're the ruling class.
Well, yeah, yeah, exactly. They're above us. They're the ones to tell us what to do and what we should do with our lives. But that only applies to us. That doesn't apply to them. I mean, we've got Elon Musk and them guys sending rockets into space. How big of a hole does that blow into the ozone layer every time they go shooting into the space? But yet they tell us, oh, we got to cut carbon emissions. We got to cut diesel fuel usage emissions. We got to do this. We got to do that, blah, 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 blah. But it's because, like Chris just said, they're above us. And – well, they're allowed to do what they want to do because they have the money to do it. It is very annoying.
Well, it is. But what's more annoying is watching the people that support them under their social media posts hang from their testicles and cheer them on. It's like, man, wake up. These people are not your saviors. They're not your heroes. They are elected officials. They quit idolizing them because they are not worthy of being idolized. They are pathetic, horrible human beings that lie to you out of every breath that they take. And they do what they want to do, and then they tell you what you should do. They don't live by example. They try to rule you. And that's not how government in this country is supposed to work anyway. But we've allowed them to get by with it this long, and what the hell? We might as well let them take complete control, right?
Well, you're exactly right with what you're saying. People, as an American, we have allowed a certain class of people to do as they want and tell us what we're supposed to do, and if we tell them no, well, then we're just a domestic terrorist. So I'm still waiting on that T-shirt. If anybody hears this, 2XL, if it's going to be a long sleeve, it's a 2XL T. But proud domestic terrorist, orange shirt, black lettering, real big. And you just get that to Jeremy or Chris, and I'll get you money sent back to you for getting me that shirt. But, I mean, because that's what we're turning into as Americans that stand up against the government and say enough is enough. They're calling us domestic terrorists. We've got – and
well,
your governor
– Let's get into right now then. If we're domestic terrorists, did you guys hear what Donald Trump did this morning? I don't know if you've heard. But Donald Trump told the American people – that he had, that they, if they work for a company that has over 100 employees, this is Donald Trump that did this now, folks, that they have to, by law, according to them, they've got to go get the vaccination or be tested weekly for the coronavirus. Yep, that was Donald Trump. Oh, no, that wasn't Donald Trump. That was Joe Biden. Because if it would have been Donald Trump, the left and the media would have been standing on buildings right now with pitchforks and torches and burning the cities down and screaming he's a dictator. I could hear it already now. The CNN, The View, oh, dictator Trump and Hitler Trump this and Hitler Trump that. No, not a damn peep out of them now that it's Joe Biden doing it. What the hell? That it's the frickin' hypocrisy that we see. Just blows my mind. What's your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, that's all we heard from the very beginning of this pandemic. I say lightly. But from the very beginning, as soon as Trump started limiting travel from countries that were infected, they came in, they raised hell about that, said it was racist, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as he declared a national emergency, all you heard from the left was, well, he cannot enact any kind of national plan. He does not have that type of authority constitutionally. This has to be handled by the states and the local governments, and there can't be a federal policy on handling, you know, this pandemic. I mean, they repeated that over and over and over and yelled and screamed. And then somehow, I guess the Constitution was fundamentally radically changed on January 20th, you know, or was January 21st, when Joe Biden swore into office, and all of a sudden it became perfectly acceptable Constitution to start setting federal policy on pandemic response. And the same people that swore up and down, oh, Trump better not, you know, try to mandate any kind of you know, COVID restrictions because he can't do that better. The same people are like cheering when their boy gets in there, when their Democrat gets in there and goes way above and beyond anything that Trump even talked about by mandating this vaccine it's not even a vaccine, this experimental drug. And they're all cheering and they're letting you know that you are a reckless Nazi if you don't support that.
So and you're a Trump supporter. And you're a Trump supporter if you don't support it either. Automatically a right-wing domestic terrorist, redneck
right.
Trump supporter. Uneducated
right.
Idiot as well as what the uneducated
right.
Trump supporter.
Since our Democrats, you know, have severe allergies and are concerned about, you know, adverse reactions. Give me a break. I don't know. I just, you know, I'm not even on Team Trump. I never voted for Trump. I'm like Jeremy. I never actually voted for Trump. I am an independent libertarian, and I don't cheer for the red or the blue. I definitely support, you know, your own independent critical thought on all matters, but I can't wrap my head around these Democrats, these leftists, that will just sit there and flip-flop all of their passionately held beliefs from one day to the next day based upon whatever their cult leader is saying that day. Just, you know what? If you voted for Joe Biden, raise your hand. And now smack the shit out of yourself with it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you got to remember something, too. The reason people voted for Trump and the reason they hated Trump so bad was the same reason. He wasn't a politician. He was a businessman. He wanted to run the country like a business. I mean, and it really needed to be changed and flipped and ran like a business. Because you can't take taxpayer dollars nonstop and fund laziness of other people not wanting to do something when they have the ability to do it. You can't continue to pay other countries money so they can sustain because their governments suck and their inability to decide what they want to do and how to treat their people and keep funding those countries. And, I mean, you look at them stimulus bills. Yes, Trump was in office when some of them went through, but the amount of money that got sent to foreign countries to help with their COVID relief when every last dime of that money was borrowed by us from China and then given away to other people. Why are we doing that? Because we're not getting repaid for that money that we give out. but yet we have to pay China every dime that we gave out back. That's stupid that we would do that. Why are we putting the American people under this huge debt just to push some agenda that the rest of the world does not agree with governmentally? The rest of the world does not agree with the American way of life, the American standard.
But let's talk about the mandate that they just come out with, Joe Biden, with people, employers with over 100 employees. First of all, let's talk about the fact that a lot of these, the big corporate or the big mega carriers, CRT, CR England, Swift, Werner, all the big companies, we have well over 100 employees. Now, what's the chances that the ATA gets involved and starts throwing money around to these congressmen and senators and probably even to the president himself and says that the major trucking companies are exempt from this rule? What's the chances that that happens? I mean, they already exempted the United States Postal Service. The staff for the senators and congressmen and congressmen and senators themselves are not required to take it. So what's going to stop them from just exempting the big trucking companies, the ones that are represented by the ATA? Nothing really, right? So if you're going to start handing out exemptions to a mandate, wouldn't you just say that, you know what, we probably shouldn't mandate this, because if it's not good for that group of people, why is it good for that group of people over there? Because we're not worth shit to you? Well, I don't like that. That doesn't sit well with me. So what do you guys think? Do you think there's a chance?
I don't think the big trucking companies are going to get. I think this is just one more step. And again, I always deflect. If you really and truly understand the Cloward-Piven plan, everything that is happening right now makes perfect sense. Everything they're doing, they're destroying industry. They're intentionally and deliberately destroying industry. That's the purpose of the vaccine mandates. That's the purpose of the pandemic lockdowns, where they essentially destroyed, you know, nearly half of all the small businesses in the country. They're destroying the middle class. They're creating more government dependency. And they're going to use these mandates to cause all these supply chain disruptions. They're doing, have you noticed ever since Biden came into office, like every imaginable scenario that would disrupt the supply chain has happened on a weekly basis? You know, from the Evergreen ship blocking the Suez Canal to refineries exploding to, I mean, you name it, canceling the XL pipeline to now
driver shortage.
Colonial Pipeline that got hacked and created fuel shortages, and a lot of the big trucks couldn't get fuel to now we got the port backups that are being caused by all the union rules and all kinds of regulations, especially in California, against the trucks. I mean, literally, there's like an all-out assault on our entire supply chain that's causing inflation to go through the roof, which is probably, even according to like the biggest lefty of all, Jack Dorsey, I'll refrain from my comments about my personal feelings about him. That's the CEO of Twitter. Just because I really shouldn't be promoting violence on the show. So I'm not going to talk about my opinions of him. even he has come up and sounded the alert that we're headed towards hyperinflation. And if you look at the Cloward-Piven plan, it's all about basically destroying the current system and leaving people broke and hungry so that they're begging the government to step in and take control of everything just so that they can survive. And when that happens, that's when you shut down your current system and you bring in socialism, which, of course, becomes communism. And that's the plan. And again, when you view current events through the lens of the Cloward-Piven plan, you can duck that, people. We don't Google on this show. We duck things. because Google is Skynet. I know I sound like a paranoid tinfoil there, but avoid Google and the privacy violations. Look this up on DuckDuckGo, and it's the Cloward Piven plan, and it's 8 steps on how to basically destroy a capitalist nation and force it into a communist state. And that's, you view it through that lens, everything makes sense.
Daniel, what's the word from you, Mr. Shortstack?
Next time I see Chris, I'm going to make sure I have a thing of extra heavy duty aluminum foil so he can make more hats.
I got a problem though here on my end, guys. I've got a major problem here. I've got 11 miles to go, and I'll be done for the day. But my problem is I only have 5 minutes left of my my ELD, and there is no truck stop where I'm at. So I'm in a predicament. So I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do here, because the government tells me that when my computer says that I'm done for the day and I'm tired, that I got to stop and go to bed. So I think, well, it's 4 minutes down. I think we're going to have to just shut down the show so I can pull off
Joe
to the
Denny
shoulder of the interstate
Joe
here.
Denny. And, Joe Denny. Joe Denny.
Yeah, go to bed.
Just set her sideways in the middle of the interstate and call it a day.
This yeah, parallel my clock technically says.
Let
I don't want to
her sideways. Shut her down. Call her a day.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. And for the audience's listening pleasure, this is what I'm going to do. Here in about a mile, as soon as I'm on top of this hill where I'm highly visible, I'm going to throw these old four-ways on, and I'm going to pull this baby off to the side of the road, and I'm going to do like every good citizen can do as a truck driver, and I'm going to throw this baby into off-duty personal conveyance and keep myself to the truck stop.
I just hope you don't have the same problem I had the other night and have to cross a scale before you get to the truck stop on PC.
No. And I made sure I stopped at the top of a hill so people could see me. But, yeah, it sucks, man, because it ties your hands behind your back. I had to drive from Illinois down to Oklahoma City today, and it takes exactly 11 hours, but I got held up in a few spots on the way down, and now instead of 11 hours, it's going to be like 11 hours and 8 minutes. And my clock goes to red, and then they want to fine me because I'm out of hours. It's like, well, you guys got to give me a little leeway here. But so technically, there's nowhere for me to safely park, so I'm going to go to off-duty personal conveyance to get to the truck stop.
Now, make sure you put safe parking, not safe haven, because you're not pulling a hazmat load, so it has to say safe parking.
Yeah, and this... I'm on the toll road here in Oklahoma, and this is not the friendliest place to be pulled over on the side of the road.
No.
These cars don't move over. They don't give a shit.
But
try to get up
the
speed on the shoulder. What's that?
In the name of safety, you need to create a traffic hazard to do that.
You betcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Betcha.
It's absolutely insane. If people knew what we had to go through. So what I do when I do that, which is very rare, I try to find a safe spot to pull over, right? Like right there was on top of a hill where people could see me. Like I wasn't over the hill, so they popped up over the hill, and, hey, there he is. Now I get visible. Four ways are on. I'm off the side of the shoulder as far as I can go. Now that I'm on PC to get to the safe parking, I throw my four ways on, and I try to stay on the shoulder at least up to the 45-mile-an-hour mark before I pop over, and I make sure that there ain't nobody, you know, coming where it's going to cause an accident, because there's no need for this. There's absolutely zero need for us to go through these hoops as professional drivers that have been out here that have 2 million miles under their belt.
Hey, Jeremy, do you think we could get the top cop on the phone and see if he would give us on record saying that, well, you could – just stay on, just keep rolling, and it shouldn't be a they won't write you a ticket. Can we get the top cop to go on a record and say that? I highly doubt it.
No, you know what would happen.
Come on the
this
show
is what,
and say that.
This is what would happen, okay? If I would have stayed on drive and I would have went over my allotted time and somebody pulled out in front of me and I ran into them and I killed them, they would come at me with guns a-blazing. They build a jail around me, and here's what they would say. Well, you knew you were going to run out of time. You should have stopped at a truck stop a half hour ago. Well, I went by a truck, the truck parking. That was full. There is no truck parking along here, by the way. And,
but they took our $1 billion away for truck parking. Remember? They took $1 billion.
But here's the next thing. They don't want to give you any leeway on any of this. So now, let's say 3 days or 2 days from now, I get pulled over or get pulled into a scale by the DOT, and the DOT guy comes up and says, hey, let me see your logbook. So I hand him my computer, and he'll ask me, is there any red in there? And I say, yeah, there is. There's one day I was over my clock by six, 7 or 8 minutes. I had to finish up my day to get to a truck stop. They could shut you down for 10 hours because you had red 3 days ago.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
It doesn't make no sense.
But it's Daddy. Daddy's got to tell us what to do. You remember? We all have to listen to Daddy. But the thing about it is the Daddy we listen to aren't the ones we elect to be our representatives. It's bureaucrats that do nothing and have been in the same position for 20 years and have not done one thing to improve safety on the highway.
No, but they sure have made up their mandates.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Biden's been in government for, 48 years, now 49. But after Biden gets out of office, who are we going to elect now? Chuck Grassley, who's been in office for 47 years, or Nancy Pelosi, or Mitch McConnell, who's been in office for 35 years? I mean, are we going to continue shooting ourselves in the foot by electing these morons that have been in office about 3 decades too long? And basically, it's the definition of insanity. You keep voting the same people in, whether they're a Republican or Democrat, but they've all been in office for so long, like they literally have kin that were dinosaurs. And you guys are still electing those idiots in because the media's convinced you that if you vote for somebody other than an R or a D, you're throwing your vote away. They brainwashed, conditioned you into voting for these dipshits into office, and now look where our country's at. Isn't it a beautiful, beautiful day?
Well, we're all a bunch of crane-eating morons out here, the rest of us are, because, well, you got to remember, they've got us brainwashed that we don't know any better, that they know the solutions, but yet they've never given us a solution for anything except for higher taxes, less of a – we lose our American dream daily, but yet they're – well, actually, to be honest with you, the American dream is to the point that it's just a fable, if you know what I mean.
Well,
it's a fairy tale
anymore. What they do is they create a problem, okay? Like, okay, let's say under Trump, EpiPens and insulin, he got that down to where it was actually affordable, right? So mm-hmm. What's Biden do the very first day in office? He erases that executive order because it's got to go under review. And he said for 90 days. That's what he wanted to review, the 90-day review on the EpiPens and insulin prices. Well, we're 10 months in. And now you're hearing him talk about prescription drug prices are so expensive for the American people. We are working on a bill, and we're going to get the prescription drug prices down so we can help the American people. Oh, go blow it out your ass. You just ruined a good thing with the EpiPens and the insulin, and now you want to come back and act like, you know, give us half of what you took back and then call yourself the heroes. Whatever.
It works.
But here's the thing, though. You got to remember, if you OD, they'll give you a shot of Narcan. They'll give you a Narcan shot in most states and don't charge you for it. But if you need an EpiPen, you're going to pay for that, or insulin, you're going to pay out the yin-yang for that. But if you're a drug addict and you OD and they have to give you Narcan, that's just a write-off, because you got to remember your Social Security number makes you an asset of the Corporation of the United States, and they don't want to lose that asset because they're borrowing money against that asset.
I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
What's that?
What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think the whole tactic of taking something away and then giving everybody a few months to forget about it and then reintroduce something that the previous administration did, like it's some, pardon my language, brand new fucking idea that no one ever thought of before. It works because I hate to say it, so many people have their heads so firmly planted, so far up their ass, that tricks like that work. They work.
Hello, 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 hello.
Yeah, I mean, this is the unfortunate part. We have people oriented to the left who follow politics religiously and believe one way of doing things is the right way. Then we have people to the right who follow politics religiously and believe that that way of doing things is what's going to work. Unfortunately, what actually decides our elections are the people that don't really understand politics and basically just vote for whoever convinces them at the moment. They don't keep up with the issues. So if you went and reintroduced something that was a huge hot-button issue 9 months ago, they don't know about it because they don't follow shit. They don't pay attention to anything. The people who know the absolute least about our entire government and our entire political system are the very people who determine the outcome of our election.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't
that
just wonderful?
Think about all the people you interact with on a regular basis. Think of the absolute dumbest one of those people you interact with and realize that guy or girl or pick your pronoun, that being is one of the people that determines the outcome of our elections. Everything you research, everything you keep up with doesn't matter. The person who knows the absolute least about this system is the one that decides your future. I didn't mean to depress everybody.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm just getting to the truck stop here. What sucks about it is this truck stop that I stay at. It's not a very outstanding truck stop. It's not a 5-star. Let's just put it that way. They've got a back row here that is not exactly a place you want to stay at in the back row here. Let's just say there's some elements that run around the parking lot here that let's just say what they are. We all know what they are. They're the lot lizards that run around, and this back row here is very, very dark, not very well lit, and I do not like staying back here, but unfortunately tonight, that's the only spot available for me to stay. So, wish me luck.
Look off to your left and make sure there ain't a cop sitting up there on top of the hill watching the lot, because usually there is. That's the pimp.
Well, I don't give it. I hope there are watching them, if anything.
Well, that's the pimp.
Hey, what the hell's wrong with you? Who invited you anyway? See, now all I needed was that extra 10 minutes to get to where I needed to be and get parked. But no, I got to stop and go through a whole rigmarole. Yeah, welcome to government safety at its finest right there, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, why don't we talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse ordeal?
Yeah.
How about we, Chris?
You talk about it for just a second. I'm going to check in with a caller here.
Awesome. Let's do that. Okay, so you guys all know about the Kyle Rittenhouse case. And he shot three people in Kenosha, Wisconsin during the riots. And two of them ended up dying because of it. I've been watching or listening, I should not watching, but listening to the trial. And through the trial, now it comes out that the FBI had footage. The detective that was in charge of the Kenosha case with Kyle Rittenhouse has numerous video footage. And it really certainly looks like self-defense if you have been listening and watching very closely. It turns out Kyle Rittenhouse was actually shot at, and he was attacked with a bag of some sort at the car dealership. And he was also attacked, a guy with a skateboard, I believe it was. And again, remember, folks, he was shot at. So, I'm not on the jury. I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer. My opinion, it looks like self-defense to me. That's all I'm going to say about it. But
how old was he at the point? 18 or 17?
17.
I think he was 17? Okay. Yeah, 16 or 17. But here's the point I wanted to bring up. I hear the left in their sections screaming they need to hang him and they need to throw him, you know, throw him in jail and don't ever let him out. He's a murderer, and that was a first degree murder. First of all, first degree murder is a planned murder. That's where you go to. That's where you plan, and you go and you commit the act. This kid lived 11 miles away, right over the Illinois-Wisconsin border. He worked in Kenosha. He went to Kenosha with a medical kit. And he was there helping people that were injured, that were rioting, or the ones that were protesting. There was a couple different kinds of groups. There was a bad element there, and there was genuine people that were just genuinely protesting. But he was administering first aid to these people. Along with, he went to Kenosha to help clean up graffiti that day, earlier in that day, and then he goes over to his friend's house because his friend, the car dealership that they were at, the car dealership owner asked if they would come over to the dealership because the night before over 50 cars got burned, and he wanted those guys to put out the fires and to try to protect his business. So they armed themselves. Kyle Rittenhouse grabbed a gun from his friend, which happened to be an AR. And his friend and him went down to the car dealership. His friend goes to the roof of the car dealership. And was asked, why did you go to the roof of the car dealership? He said, well, because I didn't want no trouble on the ground. Oh, so you were looking for trouble? No. He just said it was a very hostile situation, and he wasn't looking for trouble. And he felt it was dangerous to be on the ground there. So he stood up on the roof. Meanwhile, Kyle Rittenhouse was down on the bottom on the ground, trying to put out a fire, and then he was attacked. And that's when the shots started going off with that are all on video of. The whole thing is on video, actually. He was not the aggressor. It's very clear that he was not the aggressor. So, I don't know. What did you take from it, Chris?
Oh, this whole thing, like so many things in the media, has been blown out of proportion. No one should believe a damn thing they see in the headlines without taking 5 minutes to research and look into it. And by research, I don't mean find other mainstream media articles and what they're saying. By doing a little bit of searching around, I mean, from the very beginning, a lot of things were clear. They kept pushing the narrative that he crossed state lines with a rifle. Wrong. He did not have a rifle when he left home. And he lived on the state line, like you said. He had no reason to be in Kenosha. Wrong. He worked in Kenosha. He went to work that day. He was a lifeguard. He's trained in first aid, hence the reason he has a medical kit on him. So everything was legit. Friends of his from the area, the neighborhood that he works in, I mean, this may blow some people's minds, but it's actually pretty common to have a network of people you're friendly with in the area, in the neighborhood where you have a job. It's not unheard of at all. And so he had friends that were concerned about protecting their business. Like you said, he went to help them protect that business. And he was doing a lot of things. He was helping to protect that business. He was removing some graffiti at one point during the day. He did have his medical kit with him. He was rendering aid to protesters and to rioters, both, that had been injured. And, yes, at one point when there was a crowd that lit a dumpster on fire and was pushing it toward the gas station, yeah, he was part of a crowd that helped to stop them from being able to push. And, I mean, this is how insanely upside down we've got. When in the hell does someone stopping a mob riot or a riot mob from pushing a large burning dumpster into a gas station in the middle of a residential area become the bad guy? I mean, I'm sorry. Would you not normally look at that and say, yeah, that person's kind of a hero? And again, this isn't just all a bunch of rhetoric. This city had over 50 structures burnt the night before. This was a very real, very hostile situation. People were being killed in this area. He was being shot at while he was trying to stop someone from burning a gas station in the middle of a residential area. I just, it's beyond me how anyone could vilify him. I'm surprised he even got charged. From everything I've seen, I mean, from the very beginning, there were all kinds of videos circulating from that night that made it very clear he was being chased by an angry mob, that they were threatening to kill him, and there were actually people shooting at him. And even outside of the people who shot at him, there were gunshots coming from all different kinds of places. As a matter of fact, if you're the type of person who does research instead of just listening to CNN, the talking heads over there, very early after that, the FBI came out with an official forensic analysis saying that their forensic guy had confirmed at least 17 different guns discharging during one of the videos of the Rittenhouse incident. That's how many people were shooting in that neighborhood. It was a war zone. It was a war zone. Mm-hmm. And leave it to the left to get mad as hell that a minor, an underage kid, a 17-year-old, successfully defended himself against a registered sex offender that was trying to murder him. And I just, if you're buying the media story hook, line, and sinker, get professional help. I don't know what I can say.
We've been beyond
that.
I've been screaming at for the mountaintops, you guys. The Smith-Mundt Act, and I've said it again, I've said it a million times, you're probably sick of hearing me say it, the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, it essentially makes it legal for state-run propaganda and propaganda in general. And what they're doing now, these news media sources, are setting the stage for their narrative and for their agenda. And if I hear one more person say, well, he shouldn't have been there, oh, yeah? Then explain to me why the rioters should have been there, burning buildings and burning car lots. Should they have been there? I mean, they had the right to be there, right? But Kyle Rittenhouse didn't, trying to clean up his community, the area that he's from. But he wasn't supposed to be there, right? And he's a terrorist, right? I've even heard that term come out, that he's a terrorist. A terrorist, huh? It's just like the January 6th insurrection that the left media calls the worst thing since the Civil War, right? But they fail to remember Susan Rosenberg. Susan Rosenberg, you know who she is, Chris? Nope. Chris doesn't know. Oh, Chris is off the line. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Susan Rosenberg. Let me just get to who Susan Rosenberg is. January 6th, okay, of this last year, they call it insurrection, right? Worst thing to happen since the Civil War. It was an attack on our democracy and on our country. Susan Rosenberg, actually, her and her group, actually, they actually bombed the Capitol back in 1983. Oh, but I bet you didn't know that, right? So let me explain who Susan Rosenberg is. who she is, who she is, who she was, where she came from, who pardoned her.
1983.
Okay.
Okay.
So in the 1980s, a far-left female-led domestic terrorism group bombed the U.S. Capitol, okay?
The Senate
chamber. Yes, it was the part of the U.S. Capitol's north wing after the group was called M-19, okay? It damaged it in 1983. Okay, so amidst the social and political turmoil of the 1970s, a handful of women, among them a one-time Barnard student, a Texas sorority sister, the daughter of a former communist journalist, joined and became leaders of the May 19th Communist Organization, named to honor the shared birthday of civil rights icon Malcolm X and Vietnamese leader Ho Chi Minh. M-19 took its belief in revolutionary anti-imperialism to violent extremes. It is the first and only women-created and women-led terrorist group, says national security expert and historian William Rosenau. M-19's status as an incredible outlier from male-led terrorist organization prompted Rosenau, an international security fellow at the think tank New America, to excavate the inner workings of the secretive and short-lived militant group. Okay, Susan Rosenberg was a huge part of this. Okay, and guess who pardoned her later on? She was sentenced to quite a while in prison. I think she sat for quite a while too. And you'd have to go back and research this. But
I think she was convicted in 1984 or 1985. She was convicted and sentenced. Oh gosh, I'm wanting to say it was a long sentence. I'm wanting to say it was like 35 years or 40 years, something like that. But she pretty much went in to start serving her time in 1985.
Yeah. So then she ended up getting pardoned by Bill Clinton during Bill Clinton's presidency. And these are facts, people, okay? So when you listen to your media source, and the reason I'm telling you this, you're listening to your media source, and they're telling you how evil the conservatives and the patriots are. Secondly, they're leaving out the fact that they now have video that there was a Fed there letting people into the Capitol on January 3rd. There's an actual DEA agent that got fired for entering the Capitol building that day, and he told the investigators that an FBI agent let him into the building that day. A DEA agent. Oh, that's fake news because he was holding an American flag and he had Make America Great hat on, right? I'm sure that's what you're going to say. So let me just get back to Susan Rosenberg for a second. Earlier this last summer, she made some major headlines. It was discovered that she purportedly sat on the board as vice chair of Thousand Currents, which has poured more than $10 million into grassroots social change initiatives, including Black Lives Matter. So now this terrorist, actual domestic terrorist that actually bombed the Capitol, is now associated with the fundraising for Black Lives Matter. Now, are you putting two and two together here? Okay, I found it here, Chris. In 1985, she was sentenced to 58 years for explosives possessions, said her affiliation with the group showed that same domestic terrorism ideologies from 35 years ago still are percolating now. But yet she is the vice chair for the fundraising for groups that are funding Black Lives Matter. So now if you connect the dots here, okay, bear with me. You got a person that was charged as a domestic terrorist and still has the same ideologies many, many years later, was pardoned by United States President Bill Clinton, and now is fundraising for Black Lives Matter. Is Black Lives Matter, are they a terrorist group? I think the inner core of Black Lives Matter may be considered that, according to yesterday's standards, but today's standards, they're just peaceful protesters, according to Maxine Waters. Here's the people that are associated with them, folks. But yet, Kyle Rittenhouse, oh, no, there's your domestic terrorist. He was using his Second Amendment right and defending himself with a firearm. Could he be charged with something? The only thing he should be charged with was a minor in possession of a firearm. That's it. In my
Which
opinion.
Is not even real clear.
What's your thoughts on this, Chris?
The law prevents that. It's not even real clear that the law prevents that. But I'm going to bring up a caller here. We are about to bring on Medicine Man, who is most definitely a pro-Second Amendment guy, and he's going to give us some of his thoughts. All right, Medicine Man.
How we doing, guys?
Good, good.
Hey, welcome aboard, man.
Yes, sir. So, with the
so
Kyle
what do you think about all this, Kyle Rittenhouse?
Well, as far as Kyle Rittenhouse goes, you guys pretty much touched all base from what I heard. The footage released, what was that, yesterday, or I think it was today, the FBI actually had drones over the entire city, floating all over the place, watching the entire thing unravel. And that footage was just released to the court yesterday. Their case is falling apart faster than water going into a screen door submarine. He will be released and let go quicker than they can even snap a finger with what he's done. For him to go out there in the streets like he did, literally rendering aid, brandished a firearm given by somebody in the community, like you said, Chris, as well, protecting the cars because they were burnt down the day prior, trying to stop the fires. You know, they were trying to burn down the gas stations. When the actual firefight ensued, they gave up on the gas station that they were working on with the dumpsters and started walking down the street. You can see the videos where he's running down the road to stop them, like, no, 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 no. Anybody need aid? They're going down through the, you know, going down through the streets, just burning, looting, doing what they did. And he ran down there, and that's when it started. The registered sex offender at that point in time got him cornered, pretty much pinned. He tripped and fell down behind the car, and we all know what happened next. And then you see the videos there in the street where the other individuals with pistols brandishing firearms coming after him, beating him with skateboards. He blew the dude's bicep in half. He was out there trying to save the community. That's all he did. He will not stay in that prison very much longer. They will cut him loose.
Yeah, I think we're
That's
looking at an acquittal. Excellent point there, Medicine Man. Jay Shaw.
Now, cutting it back now, as far as the media goes, when propaganda itself was allowed to be reintroduced into our society, what was it, back in 12-29-12, Barack Obama signed NDAA Bill, H.R. 4310, Section 1078, authorizing the use of propaganda in our media, which was illegal.
Called the Smith-Mundt Modernization
Act. Back to 1948.
Yep, that's when the Smith-Mundt Act was introduced by a senator out of South Dakota.
Yep.
And
yep.
they called it now the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act in 2012.
Modernization. How does that modernize anything? Honestly.
Well, it modernizes World War II propaganda to modernize. It brings it to today. Hey, guess what? We get to relive.
Brings it to World
what
War
happened?
III. World War III or another Revolutionary War. Take your pick.
Well, you know what's important about 1948? You realize the significance of 1948, right?
Absolutely.
You know, there's two big things that was going on there. Number one, you had the Red Scare going on, which very shortly thereafter in 1950 led to us fighting the Korean War to stop the advance of communism into Korea, mainly because we had that foothold into Asia. But that's also the year that the CIA was formed. And so essentially you had an act that was passed prohibiting, making it illegal to broadcast propaganda, and that was lessons that we learned from the enemies we fought, from the Nazis to the emergence of the communist forces around the world, we recognize their use of propaganda. And so this law was passed saying, oh, you know what? You can't do that in this country. Propaganda is illegal. And then all of a sudden, bam, in 2012, we repeal that act. Why would you want to repeal the use of propaganda that was, you know, a law that was passed to prevent communism unless you're opening the doors, of course, for communist propaganda here?
That's exactly the point. You just made it. Barack Obama.
Yep.
Exactly.
And what are we seeing today?
They learned from what happened in past countries, in the battles, so on and so forth, what comes from what they're allowing. And then when you get into like the CRT, the basic destruction of our children's minds and the shit that they're allowing them to learn, or trying to shove down their throat, ultimately, they go to school finding out white man bad, black man good, so on and so forth. I mean, there's so many different races involved with that. I have done no research as far as CRT goes. I just know that it is a total crock of shit. But with what they're doing now with the children, and then, you know, just now proclaiming that the FDA approved the death jab on children between 5 to 11, on top of the fact what they're teaching them. I mean, they're sterilizing the kids. That is just disgusting to me. Everything that's going on right now is just disgusting. Disgusting.
Well, and the media is hiding all of it also. They're not reporting the truth about this. We know that there's side effects with this. There's a report I just read where this guy brought in his 14-year-old to get vaccinated, and now his 14-year-old has heart inflammation. And he said, well, we know that this is a side effect, and they have really good treatments for this. So he's getting treated. Tomorrow I'm bringing my 9-year-old to get vaccinated. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, are these people that dumb? Like, your 14-year-old son has a heart inflammation because of this vaccine, just because you were told it's a probable side effect? It's okay? Why are you okay with that? How are you okay with that? Good Lord,
you know,
man. People have lost their damn minds.
They have lost their minds. And while we're on this subject, going back, you know, to the vaccine mandates and everything, I'm going to bring our next caller up on the line here. Our next caller is Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry.
Yeah, hey, Jeremy.
Dirty Harry, you're on the air.
Jeremy, can you hear me?
Harry Minkoff.
Yeah, hey, I got a phone call earlier this afternoon. I still got him on the phone. He had something pop up on his phone where it said, by January, if truck drivers don't have the shots, COVID shots, they're going to suspend all our CDLs. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about that. The only thing I have heard about is that any companies that have over 100 employees are mandated to take the jab, or they have to be tested on a weekly basis. I have not heard about that, but I'm sure there's people out there that are looking into that, and if they find out that that's the case, all hell's going to break loose. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm hearing that.
And you all was talking about that 14-year-old. My mom is 77 years old. She went and got the shot February the 10th, the Moderna shot. And March the 10th, she started bleeding internally. We had her to specialist and everything else, and they're saying it's from the shot. And they can't stop, her from bleeding. That's the second person, my best friend down there in Missouri. His mother's going through the same thing.
You know how many stories I've heard from a lot of different people. People that, first of all, there's over 20,000 people that we know of that are permanently disabled because of this vaccine. And those are facts. But how many people I've been on phone calls with or Messenger that have thanked me personally for speaking out against this, because, and then they'll tell me their story. You know, my husband went and got the shot. He was 38 years old, perfectly healthy. The next night he had an extreme headache, and he went to bed, and he died that night. And you hear a lot of stories with people that get an excruciating headache, and then they're dead. Myocarditis, heart inflammation, blood clots. It's all. I mean, I can't believe that the media is covering this up.
Right.
And people are still believing it. I just don't understand why. Because their news doesn't tell them that this is a fact. They think I'm a nut job. Well, I dig a little bit further past what our news is, because I know our news is lying to us now.
Yeah, now they got the 5 to 11-year-olds taking shots.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I wanted to ask about the CDL, because me and Darren was curious, and I figured you guys would know.
There's going to be a lot of pissed off truck drivers.
Well, I haven't heard that. I think that would have been breaking news if that would have been a true thing. I'm not saying it's not true, because these guys in the government are very good at hiding stuff in mandates and this and that. But they've already been warned by the ATA and by OIDA that if they mandate this against the trucking industry, they're going to have a massive, massive supply shortage, because I believe their numbers are 38% of truck drivers said at no cost will they take this vaccine. So you take 38% of an industry of 3.7 million, you're talking like a little over a third of your truck driver. You already had a supply chain shortage. You already got truck driver shortage. Over a third of the truck drivers are going to walk away. Is that what they want? Because if that's what they want, that's what they're going to get.
Yeah.
Darren, how many places did you see it at?
Yeah, Darren Turnbull, it popped up on his phone a couple places. And
Darren.
That's why I figured I'd call and ask you guys, because you're up on it more than we are. Okay, y'all, I'll get back out here and just listen. Y'all have a good night and be safe.
Yeah, you too,
right,
Harry. Good talking to you guys.
You too. Bye.
That was our friend Harry and Shelley. Great people. I've been to a couple different events with them. Tony's been to Lexington, Kentucky. I was in Indianapolis with them on May 1st. They were in Washington, D.C. They pretty much go to all the events.
Yeah, I was in Chicago with them when we got the police, the Chicago police, to shut down downtown Chicago for us.
yeah, they've stood up for this industry and sacrificed a lot of time and money for this industry, standing up for overregulation, and those people deserve a pat on the back. And I've sat in the back of there. They've got one of those big trucks where they got the luxury sleeper on it, where they got a table in the back. It's like
the
a camper. And yeah, I went and after Indianapolis event, we sat at the truck stop and we had a few adult beverages in the back and shot the shit for all night long that night. And they're great, great people. I've talked to them on the phone many times, but yeah. But anyway, you know, people, they get their information from the news, and I was one of them. I seriously was. I hung on every word of the news. Why would the news lie to me? Well, if you start digging into people that are behind these organizations, the very people that they're calling, that are calling people racists or domestic terrorists, actually have ties with racist people and domestic terrorists. You know, in the case of Susan Rosenberg, we could get really deep into that if we wanted to, but that would be a long show and probably maybe bore you a little bit. But there's a lot of things that you just don't know about that the news doesn't tell you, that you have to actually go in and research on your own. You know, a lot of the times, Chris, I'll bring up this or that to so-and-so, and we'll be talking about something, and then I'll start paying attention to social media. And I'm one of those guys that when I see an interesting tidbit of information, I kind of put it in the back of my head and just let it sit back there, and I put it on a shelf. I call it my storage rack back there in the back of my head. And 2 weeks will go by, and something else will, like, trigger that thought. Like, wait a minute, I just seen a story that related to that, and I'll read that story, and then I'll go back to that, my shelf, and take that off the shelf and start putting two and two together. And pretty soon I'm going down a rabbit hole that's a mile long. It's like, wow, it'll blow your mind. And it'll also affect you if you get too much information at one time. and try to process it, because in all reality, we've been being lied to for a very, very long time. And these people in Washington, D.C., and that are in the media, they are very, very deceitful, and they are very good at what they do in manipulation, mind control, and psychological warfare. A lot of people, I don't think mentally, would even comprehend how so very good these people are. These are the best of the best in the world. That's just the truth. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
There's people out there. I mean, that is their sole mission in life. That is their career, is literally studying how to manipulate you psychologically. And we're good at it. As a nation, we're one of the best. I think we are the best when it comes to psychological warfare. We have used psychological operations around the world to bring down governments using the exact same tactics and techniques that you're seeing being used against our nation now, thanks to the fact that the Smith-Munson Act was repealed. And so, yeah, it's a very dangerous thing. But I one of the things I really go against our public school systems for, and I have for years, was that they never taught kids, they never taught their students that the media was an unreliable source of information, because it's not. It is our media, as it exists and always has been, a for-profit entertainment industry. There's even a court ruling to that effect. You have to forgive me. I'm just now thinking about that, so I don't have that that court case at the tip of my fingers. But there was a court case where basically the court ruled that, yeah, we can't hold this news corporation liable because they're just doing entertainment, and you can't reasonably expect that they're giving out, you know, real information. And so basically what you got going on, besides the fact that it's a for-profit entertainment industry that has literally no obligation whatsoever to give you the whole story, the true story, or anything else, you've also got the fact that the media stations, this is where the profit factor comes in, who are their advertisers? How many pharmaceutical commercials do you see when you watch television? I mean,
brought
how
to you
many
by Pfizer.
Pfizer, you know, Viagra, Cialis.
Hey, let's get Daniel back on here. Short stack. He looks like he wants to talk. We got 11 minutes left of the show. Let's get him back on here and see what else he wants.
All right.
How we doing, guys?
We're still holding on.
I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun. Lay there in the tall grass and laugh at what I'd done. Put a blood blister upon each bun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with a BB gun.
Well, that was everybody. Why are you telling everybody how I feel about my children? Yeah, I got to come home today.
What an interesting conversation tonight.
It has been, yeah. I was going to say, I got to come home today and take care of my 7-year-old who got in trouble on Tuesday for being a bully in school. And it's tough when you got children at home and you need to be a father or a mother, and you're out stuck on the road doing what the American people need you to do. And your family sacrifices a lot for allowing you to run up and down these highways and byways, taking care of the rest of the country. And then you got to come home, and that's exactly how you feel. You come home, and you're like, I just want to shoot him in the ass.
With a BB gun. Hey, Andy, and you know what? Us heroes of the highways went to zeros of the highways in just 10 short months under this administration. Isn't that such a beautiful thing?
Oh, yeah, just like the healthcare workers. Heroes and heroes.
Yeah. All you essential employees out there, we love you. Thank you for keeping America great. Now get the shot or you're a loser.
Oh, I got one. This will be great. So I'm down there in South Carolina, Florence, South Carolina, at the Petro truck stop on Saturday. It was Saturday morning. And I pulled in there because I was hungry and the truck was thirsty. So I pulled in there and got me something to eat and filled the truck up with fuel. And I come out of the fuel office and walking back to the truck, and there was three men, 50, 60-year-old men, and they were over there shooting a bull, and they were Southern boys, Southern men. I said to them, you guys got the world problem solved yet? They're like, what? I said, well, you've been over here talking for 20 minutes. I figured he's over here trying to solve the world problems. He says, one of them says, we started talking about it, but give us time. We'll get them fixed. And they says, what do you think about all this crap going on with this vaccine mandate, this and that, this and that? And I said, well, what? And he says, what needs to happen is us red, as all these rednecks, and us boys from the South, whatever you want to call us, get together and stop fighting amongst each other and be one and take this country back and get rid of them stinking bullshit like that dumbass we got in the White House right now. I said, whoa, 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 watch out. You can't say that. He says, what do you mean? I says, well, you voted for him. He said, hell, I didn't. I said, well, he said it straight up that if you don't vote for him, you ain't black. He said, well, then I ain't black today. I mean, so even they were insulted by what Biden said when he said that on TV, that if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. These men,
there's a lot of that are insulted.
They're truck drivers.
There's a lot of people insulted.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
But the news media spins it like that he's the best thing since sliced bread. And the people that watch their news source, whether it's Fox, CNN, MSNBC, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you a little story. This is a short one. Her name is Winsome, and she just won the lieutenant governor race in Virginia. And she happens to be a Jamaican immigrant, come here when she was 6 years old, served in the United States Marine Corps. She happens to be a black woman. And do you know that the news media was calling everybody racist and white supremacists for voting in a Republican in Virginia? And they didn't cover her one bit up until after she won and found out she was a black woman that served in the armed forces. Fox was the only one that did a story on her. Now, listen, I don't have every word that comes out of Fox either, but they were the only network that did an extensive coverage on Winsome. And everything I've been seeing about this lady, she's a patriot. She appreciates everything, the opportunities that she's been given in the United States of America, and she is one that appreciates what this country has to offer. These other jerk-offs have been here way too long and have gotten too complacent and too comfortable. They're taking advantage of a system that was the best system in the world. And we still are mightily free. Don't get me wrong. But they're trying to take away people's voice because they disagree with them. And my point I'm trying to make is, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, politicians in general, if you got people so mad at you that they're talking about taking up arms and taking the country back, maybe it's time you look yourself in the mirror and say, what the hell did we do so wrong that these people are that mad at us? Well, they already know what they've done wrong. They knew this day was
going
to come.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You can't expect the elite to think that they did something wrong to cause the lower crane-eating moron class to take up arms against them. And why?
you can't expect them to think that way. I mean, they can't think logically. Everything they think is emotionally. They don't know what logic is.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I talk to a lot of people all over this great country of ours, and it still is a great country, and the people don't even realize. You get on social media, and it's a frickin' shit show. These people, they're on social media to argue. They're not on social media to learn. They're on social media to argue their point, and I was one of them. And some days I can still be one of them. It depends on the mood I'm in. But I get under Joe Biden's post, and under Joe Biden's post the other day, he was at that summit, and I said, Mr. President, will you be taking a paddle boat, a rowboat, or a canoe back from the summit? You know, because leaders lead by example. And you can about guess what happened to that comment. I got blown up. I got called a Trump-tard. I don't know history. I'm like, for a comment, I think it was a fair comment. I wasn't a dick about it. I was just saying, hey, are you going to be lead by example and take a rowboat back? You know, climate change, that's the whole reason you're there. But these people come after me, and they tried to tear me down. Honestly, I was responding and laughing the whole time because I thought it was so comical that these peace and love warriors are like vicious dogs if you go against what they've been told and brainwashed and conditioned to believe. It's a little humorous to me. Oh, yeah. You didn't get the shot. Keep, you know, do your part and keep people safe. I hope you die from COVID. What? Whoa, what? Okay. I love you, too. Hope you're well. Jeez.
It's all part of the divide and conquer plan.
Yeah, well, it worked. It's been working. What the hell is people honking air horns out here? I hate this truck stop. Anyway, it's distracting. But, you know, great talk tonight, guys. We had numerous subjects that we talked about. We gave you some ideas, those of you that listen to the show, to go do your own research when you get time. And take the time for yourself to gain knowledge. Look back and research Stanley Meyer and his brother Stephen Meyer and the hydrogen run car hydrogen run motor. Research his whole story, and trust me, you're going to have a lot of interesting conversation with your peers and your friends and your family when you're talking about Stanley Meyer and how he created this, invented this thing that we wouldn't need fossil fuel oil. Or maybe it was a conspiracy theory, like they said. It's a hell of a good conversation piece. And Kyle Rittenhouse, you guys, listen to the testimony at the trial. Don't get on social media and state every CNN talking point as your argument, because it makes me laugh at you, because I know that's what you're doing. I know that you haven't watched 1 minute of this trial. And the fact I heard one woman say the other day, Tony did, he drove hundreds of miles to be there. He shouldn't have been there. They don't even know the backstory. They don't care to know the backstory. They've already got in their mind that he's guilty. He shot two people, three people, and killed two of them. Oh, he's a murderer. Not in my opinion. He was there to protect his community, clean his community up, and help his community. And now he's getting politically attacked for it. And this is all political. Don't get it wrong. But anyway, guys, great show tonight. I appreciate Daniel and Harry and who's that other guy you had on here, Chris?
Medicine Man.
Medicine Man, yeah. And all you guys that call in and participate in the show and share your opinions and thoughts, we honestly appreciate it. We want more of you to call in and share your opinions, even if it goes against ours. In the meantime, keep the shiny side up, the rubber side down. Keep it between the lines. Get home safe to your families. God love each and every one. Thank you for listening to the Disinspected Trucker Radio Show. We'll see you next Thursday at 7 p.m. Central. Have a great night, and God bless each and every one of you.